The stigmata of our Lord Jesus Christ. We sometimes talk about the stigmata of St. Francis or St. Pio, Padre Pio. But what about the wounds of Christ? There's a mystery here that people overlook, and that is when Christ rose again, all the wounds of his body were healed. The wounds where the crown of thorns had been, the lashes, the scourging. But the wounds in his hands and in his feet and in his side, they remained. And there's a deep theological reason for this. St. Augustine's going to help us understand that. St. Thomas Aquinas is going to explain it for us. So we're going to look at mainly Thomas Aquinas on this topic, but also we're going to discuss this mystery in the resurrection of Christ in all four Gospels, where Christ appears resurrected to people and they don't quite recognize him. If it's Christ, Jesus Christ, and he's rising again, and these are people who spent 3 years with him, had known him for a long time, why is it that he seems to be in a different form or a different figure? What's going on here? St. Thomas helps us understand that as well. So today I'm going to cover these two topics, the enduring wounds of Christ and the reason why his hand wounds and his feet wounds don't go away and his side wound don't go away, but the other wounds do heal and disappear. And then why is it that he appears in another shape or another form, disguised in a way from the people. Before we do all this, we'll pray together. We'll pray the Our Father, and then we'll jump right into some Thomas Aquinas. Oremus. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui es in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen Tuum, adveniat regnum Tuum, fiat voluntas Tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis odie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, se libera nos a malo. Amen. Sancte Tome, ora pro nobis. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, well, let's begin with the wounds. In the Summa Theologiae, this is in the third part, question 54, article 4, he asks whether Christ's body ought to be risen with scars. And, you know, it seems if you read St. Paul, you read 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection, that it says in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, the dead shall rise incorrupt. That means there's nothing corrupt in the glorious resurrection body. And yet, Christ, the author of the resurrection, the firstborn, the first fruits of the resurrection, he rises again and he has the scars. And we know this because the Gospels testify. Thomas Aquinas says, John chapter 20, verse 27, Christ says, put in thy finger hither and see my hands and bring hither thy hand and put it into my side and be not faithless, but be believing. Okay, so why is this? Thomas Aquinas goes on to say, it was fitting for Christ's soul at his resurrection to resume the body with its scars. In the first place, for Christ's own glory. For St. Bede says on Luke 24:40 that he kept his scars not from the inability to heal them, but to wear them as an everlasting trophy of his victory. I like that. See, the wounds, the five wounds in both feet, both hands, and in the side, those are the everlasting trophy of his victory. So there's nothing dishonorable in it. It's all glory. It's all honor. It's the trophy. St. Augustine has something similar to say. He says, perhaps in that kingdom, we shall see on the bodies of the martyrs the traces of the wounds which they bore for Christ's name, because it will not be a deformity, but a dignity in them, and a certain kind of beauty will shine in them, in the body, though not of the body. So St. Augustine, he goes one step further. He says, well, maybe because this glory in Christ, he keeps the nail wounds, maybe even the martyrs will have traces on their scars or their wounds. So if you had a martyr who had his head cut off, there might be like a glowing scar there. I don't know. But St. Augustine is just speculating here. Then Thomas Aquinas says, secondly, to confirm the hearts of the disciples to faith in the resurrection. And then third, that when he pleads for us with the Father, he may always show the manner of his death that he endured for us. Now, I like this one. We Catholics believe that the high priest is Jesus Christ. And every priest on earth is really just in persona Christi. He's in the person of Christ. But Christ is at the altar in heaven, and he's pleading for us as the priest. And what does he show God the Father? His hands. This is why priests hold up their hands when they say Mass. They're copying Christ. But Christ's hands have the wounds. And so he's pleading his death for us constantly by holding up the wounds that he kept. Thomas Aquinas says, fourthly, that Christ may convince those redeemed in his blood how mercifully they have been helped, as he exposes before them the traces of the same death. So he does it for us, to show us how much he loves us. And then lastly, that in the judgment day he may upbraid them with their just condemnation. Hence, as St. Augustine says, Christ knew why he kept the scars in his body, for he showed them to Thomas, who would not believe, except if he handled and saw them. So will Christ show his wounds to his enemies, so that he who is the truth may convict them, saying, behold the man whom you crucified, see the wounds you inflicted, recognize the side you pierced, since it was opened by you and for you, and yet you would not enter. So on judgment day, when he judges the damned, he's going to show them the wounds and say, I did this for you. You did this to me, and yet you did not believe. So that is why Christ kept the wounds. Another good quote from St. Gregory the Great. He says that if aught could be changed in Christ's body after his resurrection, contrary to Paul's truthful teaching, then the Lord, after his resurrection, returned to death. But what fool would dare to say this, save that he denies the true resurrection of the flesh? So this just shows that Christ rose again, not in a new body. He didn't put away the old crucified body and put on a brand new body. No, he took the crucified body. He raised it up. He vivified it with his soul and with his divinity. It's the same body. He glorified it, but he kept those wounds. Okay, now the second question that we're going to cover today is this mystery of Christ appearing in another shape or in another form. This is also in the Summa Theologiae of St. Thomas Aquinas. It's in Tertia Pars. It's the third part. Question 55, Article 4. And St. Thomas Aquinas asked the question, whether Christ should have appeared to the disciples in another shape. And we find this in Mark chapter 16. It reads, quote, after Christ appeared in another shape to two of them walking as they were going into the country. So here this is talking about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Christ begins to walk with them. He begins to talk with them. They talk about the Bible. They talk about the law and the prophets. And the entire time, these two disciples of Christ don't know that it is the resurrected Christ. It's not till they arrive and Christ takes bread. And when he breaks the bread, he disappears and they realize that was Jesus Christ with us the whole time. But yet he was in another form and in another shape. Why is that? Thomas Aquinas explains. He says, I answer that, as stated above, Christ's resurrection was to be manifested to men in the same way as divine things are revealed. But divine things are revealed to men in various ways, according as they are variously disposed. For those who have their minds well disposed perceive divine things rightly, whereas those not disposed perceive them with a certain confusion of doubt or error. And then he quotes St. Paul, for the sensual man perceiveth not those things that are of the Spirit of God. Thomas Aquinas then says, consequently, after the resurrection appeared in his own shape to some who were well disposed to belief, while he appeared in another shape to them who seemed to be already growing tepid in their faith. Luke 24, we hoped that it was he who should have redeemed Israel. Hence, St. Gregory the Great says, he showed himself to them in the body, such as he was in their minds. For because he was yet a stranger to faith in their hearts, he made pretense of going farther, that is, as if he were a stranger. So he says, to the degree that they believed and discerned Jesus being resurrected in their heart or in their mind was to the degree that they could recognize him with their eyes. So you'll remember Mary Magdalene. She's there weeping, and she thinks the man next to her is the gardener. It says that in the gospel. She thinks it's the gardener. Now, there's actually something beautiful and mysterious because Adam was a gardener, and he was in the garden, and Christ is the new Adam, and he's in the garden, right? So there is something mystical going on here, but she thinks he's just the gardener. And she says, where have they laid him? And he says, Mary. And as soon as she hears the voice, Mary, Miriam, she says, Rabboni, my rabbi. And she believes in that moment, and she sees him. So in that moment of confusion, where are they laid him? She thinks it's the gardener. She can't tell it's him. But as soon as she believes, she does see that it is him. So that's why he appears in a different form. And I think it's kind of beautiful. It's a mystery. It shows in throughout the gospel, Christ is secretive. You know, he tells the man he cures from leprosy, you know, don't talk about it. He tells the apostles certain things, and he says, don't talk about it. So he has this sort of restraint, and he's revealing himself gradually. That's why sometimes I say, you know, if it's someone who's very new to Christianity, it may not be the best thing to take them for their first introduction to Christianity to Mass. You might hear me say that and be like, well, why not? In the early church, the first time people got to go to Mass and be present for the consecration was after they were baptized, after they had been initiated. They didn't even teach the catechumens the Our Father and the Creed till later on in their catechesis, because they wanted to, like Christ says, don't cast your pearls before swine. You kind of gradually and gently lead people along and give them more and more and more as their faith grows. An ancient principle, I think, that comes directly from Jesus Christ. So when you think of the wounds of Christ, and yes, by the way, you might have heard that he had to be nailed in his wrists, not in his hands. That's not really true. He was nailed in his hands and in his feet. Not one bone was broken. And they took him down. And that's why the scriptures say his hands and his feet. And the Psalms say they dug out my hands and they dug out my feet. So think about this. And I think the challenge for you and for me is, if Christ appeared to us, is our faith strong enough in our heart to be able to discern him with our eyes? Remember, even when Thomas saw him, he wasn't yet fully believing until he put his hands into the side wound, into the hands. And then he really recognized, this is Jesus. It's almost like when we have no faith and no love for God, not only is our heart dim, but our eyes are dim. We can't even see the miracles that are around us because we don't have faith. Hey, thanks for watching. If you like this video, please hit the subscribe button. It's also in the bottom right corner. And hit the bell. You'll be notified whenever I go live. If you're on a mobile device, please turn your notifications, YouTube, on. And the most important thing you can do for me is share this video on Facebook with your friends, Twitter, Parler, Gab, whatever you like to do. And please give this video a thumbs up, a like. I really do appreciate that. We'll close up here with an Ave Maria that will grow in faith, hope, and charity. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. One way you can focus more on Christ and grow in faith is to pray the rosary every day. Pray the rosary every day, or you're not on the team. Read the Bible every day. Get to know Jesus Christ in his own words, not through what someone else told you Jesus said. Read the Gospels yourself and read the words of Jesus. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ says, you're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. God bless and Godspeed.